You're listening to DraftKings Network.
You're tuned in to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, guiding your gridiron journey, none other than your host, former NFL lineman, Ross Tucker.
Yeah, it is. But it's not just any Ross Tucker Football Podcast. It is a Monster Monday, as always, presented by DraftKings. Love those dudes. Love all of you. Love my life. Love getting a chance to talk about football for a living. Love those of you that check us out on social media. I'm at Ross Tucker NFL. We are at Ross Tucker Pod. And my, oh my, there is a lot to get to today. First, though, we're going to talk to my buddy Jason McCourty. J-Mac and I did several games together this year, including a couple of NFL games like the Saints-Titans and Bears-Falcons, as well as some college games like Ole Miss against Alabama. He was on the show a few weeks ago, but now you're going to hear more about his story and how he really got to this point, which I think is really, really cool. Plus, as I know a lot of you know, there's a lot to get to since Thursday's show. It's unbelievable how much is going on in the NFL in the last few days. It's big show time.
The big show.
Love having my guy J-Mac back on the show again. We had him back in January to talk about Belichick and Gerard Mayo. Now I want to talk about you, man. You're what, a year and a half or however many years? When did you start the media? So how long have you been Good Morning Football?
That was July of 21. It was right after I retired.
It's been that long already?
Yeah, it's flying.
Wow. All right, but this past year was the first year you started really doing games on TV, including some with me. So I want to talk with you about that. Because you have a fresh perspective, and I know you and I have talked off the air, but I've been doing it for so long, I think it's sometimes better for the listeners and the people that watch us on YouTube to get an idea of what you thought it was like. So why don't I start with this, just your thoughts on calling games in general and what you thought of it. Like it, love it, want some more of it? What are you thinking?
It was awesome. And you said it, my first year I got a chance to call games for Westwood One on the radio, just seven of them. And that was a whirlwind of you're getting into it and it's playing and play out. It's the closest thing I would say to playing the game if you're not going to go the coaching route, because you're in it and you have an impact on the game for whoever's listening or watching. And you have to come up with something every single play, no different than when I would be standing at the line of scrimmage and the team's best wide receiver standing across from me. Like, I got to have a plan every single play and know what's going on and then execute once the ball is snapping. I feel like that's the same rush you get with calling plays. When you're play-by-play guy, when he finishes and you hear that pause, it's just like, all right, it's my time. And then you already have watched the play and you have something that you're thinking of. And next thing you know, the play-by-play guy says something, he throws a question your way. And now you have to pivot and go to that. So it was just so much fun of being able to be at the games in the atmosphere. And, you know, part of it is, you get a chance in pregame and talking to coaches and players and reconnecting with so many people. But to know that you have an impact on a listener and after a game, somebody can hit you up on social media or text you and say, man, I felt like I learned something when I listened to you call the game. It means a ton. So I would say I definitely got a lot of enjoyment out of being able to be at the games and calling.
Compare TV to radio.
Completely different. And before I even get to the actual game, the preparation is completely different, because I'm walking in last year and I start doing the radio games. And of course, you're figuring out as you're watching film, because you did it as a player for 17 years, if you include college and all of that, but you're figuring out how to watch film in regards to what I need for calling a game. For me, it was totally different, because when I used to watch film, I'm looking completely at the wide receiver, the quarterbacks, and just the pass game. And now you're watching it and you have to get a better picture. All right, the offensive linemen, when they're running zone schemes, gap schemes, they're pulling at different things that stick out there to be able to help the listener too. And then for radio, you have a game on a Sunday, you can fly in on Saturday, or if it's a late Thursday night game, you might be able to get to the city Thursday morning. TV is totally different in the sense of now we're using telestrators, the person's already seen the game, so you don't need to just repeat what just happened. And you're showing up a few days early because you're on calls, you're meeting with the head coaches, the quarterbacks, players on offense and defense to get more information about the team. So whereas radio, I'm traveling. I had a game in Philadelphia where I drove down on a Thursday afternoon to do a Thursday night game. For a Sunday game in the NFL, I might be traveling down Thursday night to be in the city Friday through Sunday evening to prepare for that game. And then once you get to the game, the radio, it's all about the description of your words, because you have to envision that somebody's on a long drive and they're going, there's kids in the background, they're screaming, and they just want to figure out what their favorite team is doing. They want to hear about some great story that you have about the head coach or the quarterback or what happened when you were playing the game. Nobody cares. I want to know why we just got beat for a touchdown and my DB wasn't in that area. And TV, you get a chance to do some of those things. You get a chance to draw up different plays of what you've seen on film and show the viewers and talk about it from that respect. So I would say the radio is football in its purest form. You take out all the cool toys and all those different things and you just talk ball. Where TV, you have all the bells and whistles at your disposal to be able to go in and explain the game in that way.
Yeah, I always say, like, I think the play-by-play guy is so important in radio, because when I'm driving, listening to a game, I mean, the analyst, that's great, but, like, I want to know what the score is and where the ball is and what happened on the play. I can't see it, you know? It's funny, too, Jason, because I'm sort of used to it now, but, man, this, like, for you to be as good as you were this year, when you had a bunch of different producers, you were doing games, heck, for different networks, you had multiple different play-by-play guys. You did two-man booth, three-man booth. You even did three-man booth with multiple different guys. Like, what I always think about is, can you imagine how good you or we or a crew would be if it was the same producer, the same director, the same three of us or same two of us or whatever it is every week for the whole season? I feel like I would be unbelievable by the end of the year. I just wanted us to get a week 18 game together just so that me, you, and Chris could have back-to-back weeks together, you know, because it makes a huge difference.
Huge difference. For us, we work together in the NFL with our same crew week one of the NFL season and week 17 of the NFL season. There was no in-between for me with you guys. So it's very tough. And I was fortunate enough that I got a chance to work with really good people. I remember, man, you jumping on the phone before the season even started and you taking 20 minutes of your day while you're down at the beach with your family to just talk over what it's like to call games, for me to be able to ask you questions. Something as small as what people don't realize is when you get in those production meetings leading up to a TV game and you're meeting with the head coach and the quarterback and wide receiver, whoever it is, of how to conduct yourself, what questions you should be asking, information you should be looking for. So for me, I was fortunate where my first game, at least I'm getting to watch somebody that's been doing it for a decade plus and see the way they prepare and different things. And now I can fine tune and find what works for me. But I was very fortunate in the sense of whoever I got a chance to work with, they were awesome to me and willing to help me and do those different things. But it is a totally different experience where you show up and now you have a producer where these are the things you start to expect. And then I show up in Germany and it's a whole new crew. And it's just a familiarity. When you don't know anybody, you're trying to say the things you want or just building that comfort level to be able to say whatever. And I think to your point, when you're on a team and you guys are working together week in and week out, you get to know each other and you can say whatever. Nobody's offended. They don't take it any certain type of way. And that's why we see, whether it's the Romos or the Greg Olsons and the Burkharts and all of those different guys who absolutely kill it on a week-to-week basis. But, you know, you got to work your way from the bottom on up, and you've done that better than anybody.
Trying, man, trying. What are your thoughts and what would you tell people about, because this is your first year also doing some college games, about doing college versus the NFL? How do you compare those for my listeners?
Buckle up. College is a totally different ball game. And you don't realize it because obviously we all played college ball to get into the pros. And when I played college, I left, that was in 2009. The game is so different from when I was there. And my time in the league, you're focused on what your job is. So you're studying the NFL and all the other teams, and you start to understand the way this offensive coordinator coaches, this defensive coordinator, what they like. So you go back to the college. For one, the first thing that stands out is in the NFL, there's 53 guys that are active on game day. So you're waiting to see who's not playing, is that there. You get to college, there's a roster with 130 guys, and they're all dressed. And you get a roster, and there's 50 guys that have double numbers because everybody wants the single digits and the low numbers. And you're trying to determine who's who, who's doing this. And now you got to enter the transfer portal because now you're talking about a star on the team. You also have to mention during the broadcast, well, he's here and he's in his fourth year, but he came via Rutgers. Before that, he was at UConn. And so it's so many more facets of the game that you have to know just from a personnel standpoint. And then the game is different. It moves a lot faster. Now you have to kind of shut up and let the play-by-play guy go because a lot of college teams don't huddle. They're getting a signal from the sideline and they're going. And then the rules are different. So you have to have a full understanding of the rules. And that was probably one of the biggest things I picked up from you of during a game when something happens of right away getting in there and breaking down exactly what it is, whether it's targeting, whether it's the clock stopping this year in college football, but being able to break that down for a listener so they understand it because whoever's listening, there's a good chance they watch football on Saturdays and Sundays and it can get confusing.
Yeah. That would be my number one thing. Why don't we just make the rules the same? Like, let's make the same rules for college and NFL. Like, is there a reason to have different rules? Since it is the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, I do have to ask you, and this is probably more for the listeners, the people watching this than me, but I guess tell my people what it's like to work with me. The pros and cons of me. They probably already have a pretty good idea, but I'll let you verbalize it however you want to.
Get ready to talk food. If you're spending a few days with Ross Tucker, you guys have seen it. Tuck spreads the whole nine. We were in Chicago and they had chocolate chip cookies for us. And alongside of it, they had hot food. And you have the canisters underneath, it's heating the food up. So it gets to halftime, and halftime's fast. So you got to use the restroom. You got to do that. Grab yourself a bite to eat. Ross, on his way into the restroom, grabs two chocolate chip cookies, puts them on top of the dish, holding the hot food so that the cookies could warm up by the time he finished in the bathroom, and he could eat those right before he went on air. Everything he does food-wise, I was even shocked of how resourceful he was. Did he think about this before the game? Did it happen right in that 30 seconds of him passing the food to get to the bathroom and double back to do it? But Ross is awesome. The one thing I loved about working with him was you knew anytime you guys had a game, at some point throughout that fourth quarter, you were going to be cracking up laughing. And I respected that so much because I took it as we're two guys that both played the game. And for us, it was unique and awesome because our positions in which we play on total opposite ends of the spectrum. So there's things that happen that I don't want to touch that Ross can go into detail about until you're blue in the face and the same versus me. So being able to be there and just start cracking up laughing when he refers to the kicker making a kick in week one, his name is Groupie, and he says he's going to have the groupies after making kicks like that. I love that because when you're watching the game with your boys, that's how it is. You're going to laugh. You're going to have a good time. So not only that, he's in the booth and he's moving all around and so excited. And I think that's the part of it that you love. We were just two guys that genuinely enjoy football and just love the game and respect it. And we're on the call. We're trying to have an absolute blast and doing the game. And we want the listeners or the viewers to feel that when they're watching or listening to the game of like, man, these two guys, they really enjoy football and they enjoy talking about it with one another.
Well, you know how I feel, man. Absolutely loved working with you. Hope to do it again. I tell everybody I talk to, and it sounds like I'm like trying to pump myself up. I don't mean it that way. I think having like O-line and DB, or maybe take us out of it. Maybe it's a D-line and a receiver, mm-hmm. but just having that type of combo, man, I think that is ideal because I learned stuff from you every game we did. I enjoyed asking you questions. And even if some of the stuff I knew, you would go to a level of detail that I didn't know. I wasn't a DB. I didn't know. I wasn't a receiver. I didn't know. So I love that aspect of it. And I think the viewer won as a result. Last question, just Good Morning Football studio work. How do you like that compared to doing games? Is it a good mix being able to do both? Obviously, that's kind of like a year-round regular, you know, gig.
GMFB, love it. And the people that we work with, they're awesome. And you know, there's, you have teammates where you go into work every single day and you get a chance to know each other, understanding each other's purposes, and then finding out what works best for each person. And the fact that we do our show every single morning, 200 and some odd days out of the year, you get better fast. And I would say for me, starting out where you're a little shaky, you're figuring out, getting your feet underneath you. It was the first time I've ever done TV, and you're just hired 1 week, and 2 weeks later, you're on air and you're thrown into the fire. So with that show, I felt like I got better fast because each and every day I was there and I was doing something, rewatching it. All right, I can improve on that. And then on top of that, I'm watching whether it's Schrager, Kyle Brown, or Jamie Erdahl. These are three people that have been in this business for over a decade as well. So I get a chance to watch them up close and personal and see how they do their thing and grow from it. So I love the studio stuff. As much as you have fun doing games and talking ball, being able to show your personality and doing fun segments and being able to interview people and talk about all these different, this total skill set that you have from being on that show, it's a ton of fun. And it gives you a great platform. We're on there every morning. You get a chance to talk football and talk about what's going on in the league from your perspective. And I look at it as an honor. I played 13 years, played for four different teams. That was probably 10 different head coaches and coordinators and all of that. And you get to share your experiences and what they were like and the good, the bad, and in between. If you don't take yourself too serious and you humble yourself, you can have a lot of fun on a show like that. And the three people I sit at the desk with are unbelievable. And the people behind the scenes are even better. So I just have a ton of fun with it. Feel like I've retired and now I've gotten out of the pressure of the business of winning a game every week. And I finally get to enjoy the game for its pure form.
Awesome. Check him out on social media at Jason McCourty. He's not just terrific at everything he does. He's an awesome guy. He and his brother have done so much already for sickle cell. I want you to just real quick, Jason, tell people about your foundation, what you've done, why you've done it. I know people like hearing about current players, former players that have a cause near and dear to their heart. You guys did a lot while you guys were still playing, a lot. I mean, guys were in it while you were still playing, which is why I think you guys have had the impact you've had.
Yeah, that's credit to my mom. She had always said, we made it. You got to be able to pay it back in other ways, especially in your community. And Tackle Sickle Cell Fund, we started, that's close to 15 years ago now, Devin and myself partnering, whether it was with Boston Medical Center when we were playing with the Patriots, or it was Embrace Kids Foundation in New Jersey, an organization that we worked with while we were at Rutgers, been able to do a ton of work. The sickle cell disease runs in our family. It's a hereditary one, a blood disorder, and us being able to give back because my aunt and my uncle both suffered from the disease. We lost our aunt early in 2019, and watching her struggles motivated us to be able to give back. And whether that was raising money, raising awareness for different families that were going through this, it was just a really cool opportunity to do something bigger than ourselves. And while my aunt was still with us, she would come to an event when she could make it from a health standpoint, or she would just get on the phone and talk to us about it. And she was so proud and inspired by it. And you don't realize the conversations it forces you to have, because growing up, you don't really talk to people older than you about everything they're going through from a health standpoint. And we would start doing different events and learning more that would prompt different questions that when me and her were on the phone. And I learned so much, not only about her, but about my family, whether it was my grandparents, my uncle, my own father, who had the trait as well, passed away when we were young. We got to learn a ton and be able to make an impact. And I think that's the biggest thing. You get a chance to play in the NFL and you get a platform that you can kind of amplify the voice of so many other people that are trying to be heard with whatever they're going through. With us, it was sickle cell disease, and we were able to make an impact there. And we're still trying to do that, still doing events in Boston and New Jersey and still trying to grow that. That's something that we want to do for the rest of our lives.
Absolutely incredible. Great work there. Thank you so much for the time and coming on the show again. Really appreciate it.
Anytime. Thanks for having me, Ross.
Jason was awesome. You know what else is awesome? Hosting game day or movie night. DiGiorno knows that planning a watch party on a budget isn't easy, because it's not. You got to have the perfect setting, the perfect squad, the perfect eats. Luckily, you're a game time mastermind. And you know that grabbing DiGiorno classic crust pizza can bring home a dub, because it's packed with half a pound of cheese sauce and other toppings and comes at an incredible price. Make the game-winning call and grab a DiGiorno Classic Crust Pizza from the grocery store today. It's not delivery. It's DiGiorno. You know what it is delivery? Labatt Blue Light into my mouth because it's delicious. If you really want to take things to the next level, like I have during this entire vacation skiing with my family, drink some Labatt Blue Lights with your friends and live life to the power of we. Always enjoy responsibly. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Tux Takes.
All right, Ross, the biggest news from the weekend, Aaron Donald officially announced his retirement.
That's interesting to me, Jack, because there's been a lot that's happened since Thursday's show. That's interesting that you believe is the biggest news in the NFL. I probably ultimately will agree with you. I mean, he's been a top five defensive player in the league probably since his rookie year, which is just ridiculous, right? I mean, 10 straight years, his only 10 years, by the way, he's a top five player. And most of those years, he's number one or number two. You know, I tweeted this, Jack, at Ross Tucker NFL. You should follow us as well, at Ross Tucker Pod. I love this. Not that I love when guys retire when they still have stuff left, because I'd love to see Aaron Donald continue to play football. But here's the thing, like, as a retired guy, right, I know life, retired life can be pretty fun too, right? And I don't want him to do more damage to his body. I don't want him to hit his head against other guys more. You know, I want him to enjoy the fruits of his labor. He is going to the Hall of Fame. He won a Super Bowl. He's made a ton of money. What else is there to do? Like, he could play a couple more years, but honestly, like, for what? I guess for more money, but I think he's got enough.
Minnesota Vikings, they trade the Houston Texans. They get the 23rd pick, and they send Houston the 42nd pick, 188th pick, and a 2025 second rounder.
Yeah, so the only reason why that matters is because it's pretty clear, I think, that the Vikings are trying to position themselves to try to trade up in the first round and get a quarterback, which I think is really interesting. And they need to, right, after they let Cousins go to Atlanta.
Keenan Allen's also on the move to the Chicago Bears. He's again sent there for a fourth-round pick.
You know, I love Keenan Allen as a player. I'm a little bit surprised this happened. I thought that the Chargers would find a way to keep him. They couldn't. I do think this is a great signing for the Bears because the rookie quarterback, likely Caleb Williams, will need a guy that's a savvy route runner like Keenan Allen.
Jets, they bring in former Cowboys tackle Tyron Smith to be the new.
Very interesting, yeah. You know, the Jets, I'll give them credit, man. They people think I'm like a Jets hater. I'm not. They have tried so hard to get this offensive line right. And I think Tyron Smith and Morgan Moses at the offensive tackle positions is a really good place to start. Hopefully those guys stay healthy for him.
Chiefs get some weapons on the outside. They sign wide receiver Hollywood Brown to a one-year deal worth up to $11 million.
Yeah, it makes sense that Hollywood would sign there as a one-year deal. Makes sense that the Chiefs and their fans are excited about it. I'll be curious. You know, I have not been overly impressed with Hollywood in his career so far. I'll be curious to see what kind of numbers he puts up.
Quarterback trade palooza. Kenny Pickett was traded to the Philadelphia Eagles. Sam Howell sent to the Seattle Seahawks. And Justin Fields traded to the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Wow. I mean, just wow, Jack. I wasn't expecting Pickett to the Eagles. But for the Eagles to get a local kid who's making peanuts the next 2 years, who's got that kind of experience, that is very valuable. It's amazing. I thought Sam Howell was the Commanders' guy for most of the year. He really faded down the stretch and altered the impact of his career. And Justin Fields to the Steelers. Although they're saying Russell Wilson, the starting quarterback, that is going to be maybe the most interesting team to me now is the Steelers.
Bills, they bring Curtis Samuel on a 3-year, $30 million contract.
Well, so here's the deal with the Bills. They want to make sure they have a speed guy opposite Stephon Diggs, a guy that can stretch the field. They lost Gabe Davis, so I think they believe that Curtis Samuel can be that guy. just like the Rams signing Jimmy Garoppolo. I feel like Jimmy Garoppolo went to the Rams because he wants to live in L.A. I'm sorry, but I think that's a huge factor and probably be coached by Sean McVay. And then how about Eric Armstead to the Jags? I mean, Eric Armstead is a good D tackle in the NFL. Pretty clearly the Jags need an upgrade there, and the Niners couldn't afford him. So I'm happy for Eric. Seems like a great guy that he got that kind of deal. I'm also happy for all of you because we'll have a new, fresh, Even Money podcast talking about these moves and the NCAA tournament tomorrow. I think we're done here.
Thanks for tuning in to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. Make sure to also check out Even Money, Fantasy Feast, and College Draft, all on the DraftKings Network on Samsung TV Plus, YouTube, or subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform.
Shout out MyFrontPageStory.com. You guys know how passionate I am about getting any of your loved ones, but especially your parents or grandparents, a front page story all about how amazing they are. BackOfficeScheduler.com, SteakhouseSports.com, HumanHeadNYC.com, Sportaculture, Pizza Boy Brewing.